So let's take our Bibles tonight, church, and let's turn to Luke chapter number 2, kind of a Christmas devotion tonight. Luke chapter number 2. And tonight we're just going to touch on something very simple, three glorious truths of Christmas. Three glorious truths of Christmas. And let's pray. Our Father, we are very grateful to be with Pastor Pineda and all the great folks of Liberty Baptist Church. And God, we humbly ask that you will help us to grasp what we are going to see from your word tonight. Lord, in our finite minds, we can't fully take in all that you have done for us. But what little we do look at tonight from thy word, we humbly ask that you will help us. And so, Father, again, give us ears to hear. I pray, Father, that we will be open to what you have for us. And then, God, we need to apply what we've been given. So I pray that, again, our minds and hearts will be ready to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first glorious truth of Christmas is God is for us. God is for us. Luke chapter number 2, let's read verses 8 through 14. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Amen. Christ is the Lord. Amen right there. That just popped into my head. He's the Lord. Verse number 12 says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, brother, that's a remarkable statement. We could go back, we don't have time, but we could go back and we could look at human history and we could see everything that God has done good for humanity, and whatever God did that was good, mankind rolled it up and threw it back into God's face. What I'm trying to say, church, is simply this. God should not be for us. God should be against us. Amen right there. Are you listening tonight? God should be against you. God should be against me. But praise the Lord, God is for us. That's an amazing truth tonight. The first ever, I don't know if you knew this, the first ever vocal radio broadcast went out Christmas Eve in 1906. A Canadian engineer and inventor by the name of Reginald Fessenden, from his workshop in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, sent the Morse message CQCQ, alerting all ships to expect a very important transmission. When the telegraphers had assembled in their shipboard radio shacks, they heard the unimaginable, the sound of a human voice. We take it for granted because we have all these quote-unquote smartphones, right? We can talk to anybody in the world. But that's what happened on Christmas Eve, 1906. Fessenden read the following: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Wow. And by the way, if we've been given peace from God or peace with God, if we have peace with God, we ought to express some goodwill toward men. Amen right there. And I can't speak for everybody. I can only speak for myself. Sometimes I have a tendency to let everybody know what I'm against. Amen. I want to be heavenly salt and irritate the daylights out of everybody. Amen right there. Wait a minute. Heavenly salt doesn't just irritate, it inspires. And you know what? I take from this scripture here, and we're going to look at others in just a minute. I take from this and other scriptures that I shouldn't always be telling people what I'm against. I should tell people I am for them. In other words, tell the world you're against their sin. Amen. But also tell them you are for their souls. Amen right there. I need to balance that out. People should know that I am for their souls as much as I am against their sin. And I believe that's God. Amen. There's a good balance there. God does tell us in the Word of God that He's against sin. But He also says, I am for your soul. I am for you. God for us. Isn't that an amazing thing right there? And so let's be careful to balance out our passion for being vocal regarding what we are against by also stating we are for the souls of men, and God loves the souls of men. Let's go to Romans chapter number 8 one time. Actually, we're going to come back a couple of times, so put a bookmark there or put your finger there. Romans chapter number 8. So from our scripture reading, we see the main players of the Christmas story, God and men, but we also see that first glorious truth of Christmas, that God deeply cares for men and wants them to be saved. Romans 8, look at verses 31 and 32. Paul says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's good right there. That's kind of a rhetorical question. Listen, if God is on our side, if God is for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. Amen. Now, that's going to be important in just a second. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Nehemiah 4:20 says, God shall fight for us. That's good right there. Have you ever been in a battle and you want God to step in and fight for you? I'd be reading Nehemiah 4:20. Amen right there. Psalm 62:8 says, God is a refuge for us. Sometimes, brother, I just want to crawl in the hole and just hide. Amen. That's good. Psalm 68:28 says, strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Psalm 126:3, you probably know this one. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. One of my favorite verses, Pastor, this past year has been 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. God is for us, brother. Romans 5:8, New Testament scripture, Christ died for us. Romans 8:34 says, Christ makes intercession for us. Get a hold of that. Let that sink down just a minute. Day in and day out, we are doing things we should not do, and we should be doing things that we're not doing. And you know what? We need an intercessor. We need a legal representative in heaven that'll stand between us and God and say, don't kill him, God. Amen. He's an intercessor for us. Wow. Ephesians 5:2 says, Christ gave himself for us. Hebrews 9:24 says, Christ appears in the presence of God for us. Isn't that good, church? Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes, I don't know, maybe you have a boss or you have coworkers and you think, man, these guys are against me. I had a boss in the military, brother, an NCO that outranked me, and I found out he wanted to get me kicked out of the military. And I told the guy, my buddy who told me, I was like, well, thank you for passing that on. I will watch myself. Sometimes you feel like your coworkers are against you. Sometimes you feel like your neighbors are against you. There's that one neighbor, and you, no matter what you do, no matter how nice you are, no matter how you behave yourself, you got that one neighbor. I've even got family members. They are totally against what I'm doing. Totally. Brother, sometimes if we're not careful, at least I'll speak for me, we get into this gloomy mindset. Everybody is against me. But when we start thinking those gloomy thoughts, we got to remember the first glorious truth of Christmas, God is for us. God is for us. And if God is for us, Amen right there. That puts a smile on my face right there. Brother, isn't it just grieves your heart sometimes. Pastor knows you even have colleagues in the ministry that are against you. But God is for us. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 1. The second glorious truth of Christmas, God is for us, but we talked about this. We touched on this. Thank you, Pastor, for not preaching too long. But the second glorious truth of Christmas is God is with us. God is with us. He started running away with it. I was like, Lord, shut him up, please. Don't let him talk too long. But that was good, Pastor. That was really good. Matthew chapter number 1, look at verses 18 through 23. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. In other words, this is how it unfolded. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child. You probably ought to underline that prepositional phrase, with child. With child of the Holy Ghost. This tells us something. This tells us that Jesus was 100% man, and he was 100% God. Amen. The babe of Bethlehem, yes, but conceived of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I can't remember who it was. I'm getting ahead of myself, but a preacher said one time, the babe that Mary held cradled in her arms was at the same time upholding all things by the word of his power. Woo! God with us. You know, there's never been a person like Jesus Christ. And there will never be another person like him. Amen. Fully God and fully man. Not part way and part of the time, but both all at the same time. Amen. Precious. God with us, brother. All right, where did I leave off? Verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. What a truth. God with us. You know, there are some people maybe you've come across, and if you live life a little bit, young people, you'll find that there are people that you do not want to be with them. Amen. We won't dwell on that, but we will say this. Why in the world would God want to be with us? Why in the world would he want to be with us? But he wants to be with us. Now, the Jews had God with them. The presence of God between the cherubim on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. But God was never with them like he was. When he decided to take on a human body and to walk this earth, a real human being, just like you and I, a real human being, God with us. Someone said this, by the light of nature, we see God as a God that is above us. By the light of the law, we see God as a God that is against us. But by the light of the gospel, we see God that is a God that is truly with us. Isn't that precious? Romans chapter number 8. Let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter number 8. You probably have these verses memorized, but they are so good for us to read. Romans 8. 37 through 39, Paul said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Psalm 46:7 says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." That's good right there. Can I say that again? "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness." God with us, brother. Jeremiah 30, verse 11 says, I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. And Matthew 28:20, you probably know it. "Lo, I am with you always." You remember always, you remember what that means, don't you? Always isn't, now there's a difference between always and always. It kind of irks me, brother, when they want to add the S when God said always. Until I looked it up, I didn't know why they did that. Always refers to time. I am always wanting to eat Mexican food. Amen. But always doesn't always refer to time. Always means all the way. Amen right there. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you all the way." Amen. Even until the end of the world. Church, are you grasping this? Help me. Pray for me. This is good right here. Praise the Lord. In the 18th century, in a German art gallery, there hung a painting of Jesus, which had the inscription, "I did this for thee," Christ on the cross. The picture had been painted some 300 years earlier. And it is said that when the artist had finished his first sketch of the face of Jesus, the artist called in his landlady's little girl. And so she came in, and the artist asked her, "Tell me about the face of this individual." She looked at the sketch and she said, "This is the face of a good man." And the artist said that he had failed and he discarded his first sketch. After more prayer and meditation, he started the second sketch of the face of Jesus, called the little girl in and asked her, "Who does the face represent?" The little girl looked at it and she said, "This is the face of a suffering man." And the artist declared that he had failed and discarded the second sketch. After more meditation and prayer, he made a third sketch. When it was finished, he called the little girl in the third time and asked her who it was. And she said, "It's the Lord." And that, my friends, is the difference. That's what makes the difference in life. That's what makes the difference for all of humanity and the world in which we live. Not that a wise man came, not that a good man came, not that a suffering man came, but that the Lord himself. And I just wonder, don't we walk in the flesh an awful lot? God with us? Well, that's a nice thought, but I'm doing just fine without him. Sorry, just wanted to sprinkle a little bit of conviction, all right, over the service. Amen. I love this. Someone asked a quote here. Someone said, "Do you want to be home for Christmas? Then come home to Christ. You will remain homesick in your heart until God becomes your dwelling place and you find your home in him. And it's time to come home right now." But the good news is that we don't have to find our way home. Emmanuel has found his way to us. God with us, brother. God with us. And if God is with us, brother, we can do anything. If God is with us, we won't lose our marbles. Amen. If God is with us, brother, we won't be looking for the closest bridge. If God is with us, Miss Laura, we'll have love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, good. I'm not rebuking her. We were just talking about this the other day. God's people, where's the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering, the gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Against such there is no law. And those that are Christ have crucified the affections and lusts. Brother, if God is with us, man, we can turn his whole country around. Amen right there. The second glorious truth of Christmas, God with us. Third glorious truth of Christmas, and we're done. God in us. God in us. Let's go to Luke chapter number 2. Back to the book of Luke. Chapter number 2 and verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Notice, church, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, the inn represents the human soul. And like the inn, the human soul has many compartments to which God wants to fill and to be in. Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." What a wonderful thought. What a glorious truth. God in us. It's incredible. In December 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful finally getting their flying machine off the ground. They were so excited, they sent a telegraph message to their sister Catherine. Thrilled, they said in the message, "We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." Catherine hurried to the newspaper editor of the town there, gave him the message, and the newspaper editor said, "How nice, the boys will be home for Christmas." Is there anything missing from this thought here from this individual? The man missed the most important part of that message. The most important thought or the most important message of the century, of that century, that man had actually flown. Isn't that crazy that someone would actually miss something important like that? Are you picking up what we're throwing down right there? Are you smelling what we're spraying right there, brother? We're going around doing all this stuff, thinking all this stuff is important, and we're missing the most important thing in the world. God wants to be in us. The incredible truth of the incarnation, that God would become a man and that God-man would die. Amazing. I can't expound on that, but as incredible as that is, it doesn't mean anything unless we as human beings submit and allow that God to come in to our hearts. Amen. Romans chapter number 8. Let's go back one more time. I told you to hold your place, so don't get mad, all right? And Romans chapter number 8, verses 9 through 11. Great verses to memorize, by the way. Romans 8. Verses 9 through 11. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." That's amazing, isn't it? 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." You know, the shepherds gave Jesus worship. The wise men gave Jesus treasure. The angels gave Jesus glory. But really, you know what God wants? God really wants just space. And he wants you and me to allow him to come in. That's what he wants. Is God living in you right now? Maybe that's God trying to phone you. Maybe if you pick up that phone, say, yes, Lord. Is God living in you? Don't you think we would be much better off? Don't you think our marriages and our homes and our families and our churches and our nation would be a little bit different if we could just really grasp that truth, God in us? And God says, listen, I'm for you. God says, I'm with you. Would you let me live in you? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for loving us. And we're very, very grateful. And again, Lord, we just want to simply grasp more of this incredible truth. That, Lord, the maker of the stars, of this universe that is so large, that created the animal world and the plant world, microscopic world, that this God is for us. He's with us and wants to dwell in us. With our heads bowed and eyes closed,